We welcome you this morning on this Christmas Lord's Day to our service here in Toronto, Canada. You're very welcome, and I invite you to join with us in your home, wherever you are tuning in today, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Your heart would be lifted in order to praise the great God of heaven. Joy to the World is a tremendous and favorite Christmas carol and hymn. It contains so much truth of God's love and the joy that you and I have in this world because of Him. Let's sing to the praise of the Lord now. Let's unite our hearts in prayer as we bring our service to the Lord and give thanks from our hearts. Let us all pray. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we bow today in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we come with thanksgiving for the privilege we have of proclaiming the word of truth, of speaking from our hearts, of the wonder and the great grace of our God to us. Lord, who is a God that pardoneth iniquity, like unto the God that we worship and serve today? A God who has condescended, who has given, Lord, for you have given everything that we might be redeemed. And we're thankful today as we specifically recognize the giving Father of your only begotten Son, that Christ would come into this world to be born in a place of humility, that He might be the Savior of His people. O God, today I pray that we would be filled with joy in our hearts as we recognize that Christ Jesus is the ruler of this world, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And though on earth His beginning was so small and humble, yet we know that He had come in order to save His people from their sins. And Lord, today we know that our sins have been forgiven. We know, Lord, that we have a home in heaven. We know, Father, that though we are most unworthy, yet the greatest of all gifts has been given to us this day, so we lift our hearts and we say thanks. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift to us. Lord, give us joy in our worship this day. Give us concentration, focus of mind, heart, and soul, taking away all distracting things. Lord, I pray that everyone who is watching today, whether from our own fellowship or from another place in this land or upon the globe, that, Father, there would be poured out upon each one grace upon grace, an understanding in the Word of God. Help us today to receive spiritual food for our souls. But Lord, we are also very conscious of the need of those unsaved, that the Word of truth would come with power to their hearts. Lord, we remember today once more those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We pray for the Johnson family. Bless Adrian. Bless Tracy and Denise and Nancy. Comfort them in the loss of their dear husband and father. And we pray, Lord, that as they make the arrangements and plans now for the burial of Lou, that You would comfort them and bless them and give great help. How thankful we can be, Lord, today that our brother is absent from the Lord, absent from the body, and is present with the Lord today. Oh, Father, hear our prayers. Receive our thanksgiving. Remember those who are still sick, set aside, thankful for answered prayer regarding our brother Sam, and that he is home now, and that You would encourage his heart, strengthen and build him up in body, mind, and spirit. Remember others, Lord, who need a touch, whether it's a physical application of healing or a spiritual direction and help and comfort. Lord, bless today. Pray for our brother Cleland as he brings the children's message today. Bless him. May the boys and girls be encouraged, being able to pay attention to the Word of the Lord. Hear our prayer today. Receive our thanksgiving now in Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. Let's praise the Lord again, please. Number 98, the First Noel. I invite you to turn, please, to Psalm 40, congregational reading. Psalm 40. This is a great messianic psalm, and one that speaks to us of the great sacrifice that our Lord Jesus made, in contrast to all the other sacrifices of animals that had been made throughout all of the Old Testament history. Reading, please, from verse 5 down to verse 8. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. May God bless his word to us as we have read today. Let me welcome you all to our morning service. Once more in Toronto, we are still under the lockdown of public services, and so we bring you the message today via sermon audio, and we're thankful that you have been able to tune in, and we pray that God would bless you all, especially at this Christmas season. We want to wish you all a very blessed and a merry Christmas, and pray that God would undertake for you and bless you. And certainly under these times when fellowship is restricted, times of getting together with extended family members is not easy, difficult. We pray that God would bless each one at this time. I want to please remember the Johnson family in the passing of our brother Lou this past week. Lou and Adrian have been faithful members of our congregation here going back many, many years. And though in the last little while they have not been able to attend because of being no transportation really, living in a home, well, we still have had good and fond memories of them. And we would pray and ask for God's blessing upon Adrian and Tracy and Denise and Nancy at this time. I believe the funeral will be next Monday, the 28th of December, but we do not have all the details yet, and we'll keep you posted, but do please keep them in prayer. Thankful also our sister Maud Bennett came safely through her knee surgery this past Thursday, and she went in early in the morning at 5 and was out by 3 in the afternoon, and so they move quickly through these situations, especially under these times, and we want to remember our sister, please, in prayer. Also thankful Sam McAnally is now home from the hospital. He had a long stay there, and pray for him. He's very thankful for the prayers of God's people at this time. Please remember today, our prayer time this afternoon will be at 5:50 via Zoom, and then our evening service at 6:30. And we hope to have a praise service tonight and give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And that will be, of course, via sermon audio. Don't forget our Christmas card appeal for the Czech Republic Building Fund at this time, and you could just mark your offering according to that. Also, we will be are producing just at this time a daily Bible reading plan, again for 2021, and it should be available next Lord's Day, but I know it's still not going to be easy to get out to people, and we will also be posting it in a PDF format online, so you'll be able not to miss a day starting January the 1st. And if you would like to have a copy of that, please send us an email, and we will definitely mail you a hard copy. Don't forget to put down your address, and we'll be sure to get that out to you as quickly as we can. Do pray that God would bless the Bible reading, the Word of God, as it is done each and every day by the people of God. Happy our brother Robin Cleland's with us today. Our brother's going to come along and share now a Behind the Wall Kids Bible story, and he's going to be bringing you a Christmas message. So boys and girls, you please pay attention now, because this is your time during the morning service.
The message I'd like to bring today is fairly straightforward. The Christmas tree. First of all, I'd like to read one piece of scripture found in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read one verse, verse number 21. Matthew 1, verse 21. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, a few weeks ago, my wife and I and a little dog decided to go to get a Christmas tree. So we drove up north, and we thought, well, let's go find a Christmas tree, because I'm sure there's some pretty small ones. So we drove up north, and we saw this place off to the side of the road, way up McCowan Road. And I drove in there, and we looked, and we saw all sorts of trees. We saw trees that were, oh my, there was some of them were 12 foot tall. And I'm going, well, that's not going to fit in our home. So we went, we saw one that was 6 foot high, and we said, still a bit too tall for me. That's taller than me. And I go, I don't really need that. So I said to the guy, well, I need you to cut a bit off it. So he took it, sawed a bit off the bottom of it, and gave it to me for $10 cheaper. So that was fairly good. Anyhow, we managed to get it home. We brought it in the house, and then we started to put it up. So I said to my wife, okay, well, let's go get all the ornaments. Let's go get all the ribbons and all of the little balls and all these little colored things that we put up there. And, you know, I was sitting thinking about it. I was thinking, you know something, it's such a blessing whenever you put that little Christmas tree up, and it brings back wonderful memories to you. It brings back memories of little gifts of love that you've received. And also, and that's the sad part about it, is memories of people who passed along. And you may have little ornaments that you put on your tree, and you remember the person so well, and you think, oh my, that was just a few years ago. And then you realize, no, that was maybe 10 years or maybe 20 years ago. And it's such a blessing to look at them. And it's also a blessing to look at the new ones you get, because you'll get, I went to the store and said, I need to get some new ones. We got some that fell off, and you know something, my dog loves them. He pulls them off the tree, and he starts chasing them all over the place. So he's eating a few of them. So it's nice to put the new ones up. But in it all, I said to my wife, well, you know something, how are you going to put this thing up? I said to her, well, we need something to put it up in. Oh, the stand, that's what we need to do. And if you know anything about my garage, it is not the easiest thing to find anything in it. It contains certainly not a car, but all sorts of things. So I went in there, dug it out, brought it in. I thought, you know something, tree's not much good without a stand. And I brought one today. This is not the Christmas tree we bought, but this is a tiny little one. Little tiny one that sits on top of our desk. And I was looking at it and thinking, you know something? Christmas tree wouldn't really be much good without a stand. Look at it. The thing would be falling over like this. So we put the stand on there and put up the tree, put all the ornaments on the tree. And then I started to think about everything attached to it. When you think about it, you put a tree up there, and you put the stand up there, and you put that little curtain around the front of it. You start putting all the little presents along there, and you start looking, that present's for me, oh, that's for my son, it's interesting. So what does a tree really tell us? What does a Christmas tree really tell us? Well, you know something? Tells us of the love that we have for our family members, the love that we have for our friends, and those that we have over to our home. But you know something? It's also a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because whenever you think of Christmas really wouldn't be Christmas without the Lord Jesus. It would really be non-existent. It's almost like the tree without the stand. And then I started to think, well, you know something, we put up the Christmas tree, we put all the ornaments on it, we looked at it, and we thought, you know something, It's a bit like our lives. Sometimes I was in the mall yesterday, which was way up north, and I was looking at it, and people were rushing like crazy, and they were buying things, and they were in a rush and a panic, and, oh, I need to get this for my mom, I need to get this for my dad, oh, this is too big. I heard it all. I'm thinking, you know something? Have people lost all about Christmas? What is Christmas? Is Christmas all of these little decorations? Is it all these little ribbons? Is it all these little ornaments? Is it the Christmas tree? Have we forgot about the little foundation? The little foundation that the Lord Jesus really is the foundation of Christmas. And whenever you think about it, I ask you this question. What is your relationship with the Lord Jesus today? Is your relationship one of ornaments? Or are you relying on the foundation that the Christmas tree has and that little stand that you never see? And sometimes people never really see Jesus in Christmas at all. All they see is the ornaments and the ribbons. They don't see the foundation of the Lord Jesus at Christmas. And whenever you think of the verse that's in Romans, what did the Lord do? He came here to save his people from their sins. That's a real blessing found in Matthew that we just read. And you may say, well, you know, I don't have any sins. But guess what? The Lord tells us in Romans that we have all sinned before God. And whenever you look back at that little verse we just read there from Matthew, the interesting thing that I saw about it just this morning was right at the very end. It says, for he shall save his people from one sin? No. It says, for he saved his people from their sins. And I thought, you know something? We are such a blessed people. Because there's not one day that you will not actually do more than one sin. And you think about the sins that you have covered throughout your whole life. The Lord covers them all with his precious blood. And we trust that if you've heard that message today, and you haven't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, just think of that Christmas tree. Don't be caught up in the gifts and the ornaments. Get the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life today. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Cleland, for sharing that, boys and girls. I hope you enjoyed that message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus and what he came to do for you. We're going to sing another song to the Lord's praise. Number 103, What Child Is This? Thank you. as we take time to sing and to worship the Lord, and with these timeless Christmas hymns, let us not forget. There are many, certainly at this time, and on these unusual circumstances that are really isolated, who are shut in, who cannot get. And I hope and pray that all of us who have any members of a family that are able to meet together over the next number of days, that we be extra mindful. Take the time, make that call, send that text, send that email. Make sure that you reach out beyond yourself, because indeed sometimes we can all be far too self, thinking of selfish things. Well, let's take the extra effort this day and be mindful of the very spirit that the Lord has done and given to us. I want you to turn, please, in your Bibles now to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Keeping open also Psalm 40. We do want to refer to that later, so keep a marker there. Hebrews chapter 10, reading the first 9 verses. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither had pleasure in them which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Join with me, please, in a word of prayer. Father, we come now to the Word, and our prayer is simple and direct. We need help. Help to understand. Help to apply. Help to speak the Word of God faithfully and clearly. And to that end, Lord, I pray for the not much needed grace, for understanding the power of God to speak the Word of the Lord. Asking today, Lord, that to the hearts of each one of us who are saved, the gospel would again be reinforced, and that we would have true heart thanksgiving. I pray, Father, for any outside of Jesus, unsaved today, young or old, Lord, speak to them. I pray that the boys and girls, that they have heard again a message of Jesus coming in order to save them from their sins, that they would receive that great gift of God's salvation. Hear, Lord, our prayer. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Boys and girls, I do hope also that as you've been listening today, you'll be sure to come again tonight with Mom and Dad, because there will be another message directed toward you tonight as well and for you. I want to think today with you from a line of Scripture here in Hebrews chapter 10, where we're told in verse 5, the last phrase, Jesus is speaking, and he says this, "A body hast thou prepared me. A body hast thou prepared me." And as we will see a little bit later, the parallel from Psalm 40 and how important it is for us to see what God wants us to learn. A body prepared with purpose. A body prepared with purpose. As humans, we are complex machines, or we could also say organisms. There are over 30 trillion cells that make up our bodies. All of them have different structure and different functions. The human egg is about the size of a period at the end of a sentence. And the human sperm is microscopic. And when the two come together, a human life is formed. Not an it or a thing, but a human being. And under normal and healthy circumstances, will grow until birth and then mature to adulthood. My friends, it is into this humble state that the Son of God came. We're talking about the miracle of the incarnation, that we are not able to comprehend, we are not able to understand. How could it be that the infinite and the eternal and the unchangeable God would descend into a human egg, taking a body for himself? Deity joining to humanity. Consider the Creator of all things entered into his creation. The potter became the clay. The supernatural took on the natural. And Christ, whom we are told is the root and the offspring of David. In creation, God has given a body to all life. One commentator wrote that every life has a body specifically adapted for the service which that life has to render. The higher the life, the more complex the organism. If this is true of all the general parts of creation, how much more, friend, could it be said of the Son of God, that a body was prepared for him? This is a mystery, but it's a great mystery. The eternal God is accepting. He is taking. He is becoming a human being. We can barely touch the fringe of this wonderful mystery. And the awful reality of it all is this, that He did not take on human flesh. If He had not done this, there would be no cross. There would be no salvation for us. I want us to think today on the deep marvel of this statement that we have been given when Jesus said, "A body thou hast prepared me." And what, friends, we will learn of Christ's condescension, that He would take on sinful humanity, the type and picture. He would be made like unto human flesh, and yet without sin, in perfection. Would you please notice in the first place today that this body was prepared for a purpose. It was prepared for a purpose. The act of Christ taking on a human body was to communicate the highest purpose and the greatest goal for all humanity. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 18, it stresses the one unique sacrifice of Jesus Christ that was sufficient to atone for the sins of His people. And that unique sacrifice is placed in contrast to the repeated Old Testament offerings done by the high priest every year. The great quantity of blood that was spilled from the animal bodies, it's compared to the pure sacrifice and body, the Son of God that was given, whose holy blood was shed only once, friend, for the remission of sins. Now I want you to think of how the writer of Hebrews is quoting from Psalm 40 in a very careful explanation of the purpose of God in salvation, and how the Savior was predicted to fulfill every detail of this divine plan. The humanity of Jesus Christ is a doctrine that we cannot overlook or just categorize as something of not great importance. We emphasize His deity, and rightly so, that He is God. But perhaps sometimes to the exclusion of the humanity of our Lord. Jesus Christ, you see, was a real man. He was not a phantom. He wasn't a spirit. He wasn't something that was other than bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He was as truly human as the man Adam. Adam, you see, was a prototype. He was the very beginning for all humanity. He was the representative. And we are also told that our Lord Jesus Christ is the second Adam. And in that sense, He is the representative for all of God's elect. Jesus is God and man. He is two distinct natures, but He is in one person forever. And because of this, He can be today, friend, my Savior. He can be your Savior because He is truly a man and truly God. In Hebrews, the writer is carefully setting out this teaching, and he is placing one argument on top of another argument to prove that no other person and no other sacrifice, no other offering would fulfill and complete the great work of atonement for which His body was prepared. In Hebrews 10, verses 5 to 7, our Lord Jesus Christ is shown as fulfilling the prophecy from Psalm 40. And it gives us the rendering of that Old Testament text. Look what it says in verse 5. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings, in sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. A body was prepared for our Lord Christ. Now, when we compare this phrase with Psalm 40, and I'd like you to turn back there, please, we have an example of how the New Testament interprets the Old Testament. I want you to listen very carefully. This is so important. We have an example here between Hebrews 10, verse 5, and Psalm 40 about how the Holy Spirit has brought an Old Testament prophecy, has taken it into the New Testament, and how interpretation has been given for us. Sometimes the New Testament writers, they will take a translation, of the Old Testament Hebrew, and they will bring it into the Greek of the New Testament, and they will literally do it word for word from the Hebrew text, the Masoretic text. But other times, they will take the Hebrew text and they will give us a paraphrase. That is not giving it the direct word for word translation, but there will be a paraphrase putting it into different words, but still containing the main theme or thought from the Old Testament Hebrew text. And then other times, what will happen is that the New Testament writers, they will make use of another translation, and one that is called the Septuagint. And you say, well, what is that translation? Well, the Septuagint, that's often known by the letters LXX, which are Roman numerals meaning 70, and that comes from the 70 scholars that were responsible for translating, and understand this, the Old Testament into the Greek language. Now, that translation was done about the mid-third century before Christ. And so what these scholars did, they said, well, the Greek world, the Greek-speaking people, they need to understand what the Old Testament is saying in Hebrew because they did not speak Hebrew. And so those scholars translated the Old Testament scripture into the Greek language. So it is not the New Testament, it is still just the Old Testament by itself. But what we find fascinating is that in the New Testament, the writers, by the Holy Spirit's direction, they sometimes took the Old Testament prophecy and they used the Greek translation, the Septuagint, and they have used that in the New Testament. Now, when that happens, we are given the authority because we believe very certainly that all the Bible has been given by inspiration of God, and therefore when a New Testament author uses something from the Septuagint, it is inspired by God, given to us in that way. Now, I'm sharing this with you this morning because we have a very important example in Hebrews 10, verse 5, as to how the prophecy from Psalm 40 will be brought into the New Testament. Sometimes also what the writers would do, they would take a combination of the direct Hebrew words translated into the New Testament, and then they would use also part of the Septuagint translation, and it would help to give us what the Holy Spirit wants us to know about the fulfilling of that prophecy. Now, in Psalm 40, verse 6, we have this rendering: "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened." We could also read that, "Mine ears hast thou digged." That's a marginal reference back in Psalm 40. However, when we compare that to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, we have a different phrase. And it says this: "A body thou hast prepared me." So in Psalm 40, verse 6, the phrase is, "Mine ears hast thou opened." Hebrews 10, 5, "A body thou hast prepared me." Now, those two things seem so radically different. What could it possibly mean? How could it be given to us? These words in Psalm 40, they cause us a problem when we're looking at the New Testament. And many folks have scratched their heads and wondered, it's so different. Is there a problem here? Is there a difficulty with inspiration? Should we question the Old Testament text? Should we wonder how it's possibly meaningful to be brought this way into the New Testament? Actually, this is an almost exact translation of the Septuagint. What we have in Hebrews 10, verse 5, "A body thou hast prepared me," this is the way that the Septuagint translators took Psalm 40, verse 6, "Mine ears hast thou digged," and they have said, "A body thou hast prepared me." And you ask yourself a question, well, what could this mean? How could this have happened? Let me explain. In Psalm 40, we have an expression of something called a Hebrewism. "Mine ears hast thou digged." And that Hebrewism is an expression that would have been fully understood by those who were conversant with the Hebrew language. "Mine ears hast thou digged." Well, what does that mean? It means that the ears of an individual, if they are opened or if they have been digged out, it means that the message that they will receive goes right into the very heart of the individual. It goes right to the soul of the person. So if your ears have been opened or digged out, You're not going to allow the message to go in one ear and out the other side. You're not going to allow the message to come into your head and then just ignore it as if it was not important. No, friend. You're going to allow that message to come into your very being, and it's going to influence the way you think, the way you act, the way you respond. That is the weight of the meaning of the word. And that phrase in Psalm 40, verse 6. And so in order to communicate that meaning correctly, the translators of the Septuagint, what they did, they said this clearly means that the word of God coming inside a person is going to go right to the depth of their being. It's going to be so that they will fulfill and accomplish the saying or the will of the person that has given that message. Friend, you begin to see and understand what this means. As they took this phrase, the Lord has digged out my ears. He has opened my ears. Apart, a little tiny phrase, the ear, has been put in place of the whole body, of the whole being of the individual, so that they will accomplish and fulfill what has been given to them. It describes for us, my friend, if your ear is open to God, your whole being is open to God. Our Lord Jesus used a similar phrase in Luke 9, verse 44, when he said, "Let these sayings," his word, "let these sayings sink down into your ears." What was he saying? He's saying exactly the same thing as Psalm 40, verse 6. He was saying that if you receive my word into your heart, and you take it and obey it to the point that it has impact upon your life, it means that you have submitted your life, your body, your mind, your soul, your everything unto God. The striking thing is, and I want you to understand this, friend, that the Holy Spirit has taken the Septuagint translation of Psalm 40 and has validated that in Hebrews chapter 10. He has shown it to be valid. Lenski wrote this, that to do the will of God in holy obedience remains the contrast to the earthly sacrifices. Whether we have the Hebrews' ears opened to hear God's will, or the Septuagint's body to respond to that will, it is one and the same thing. And so, the Holy Spirit is saying to us, as Jesus is speaking here in prophetic way, a body has been prepared for me. It has been fitted for the Son of God. And when He joined Himself to that body, to this humanity, it was in the womb of Mary, when the Holy Spirit came upon her and the power of the Highest overshadowed her. And this body was for Christ to do what? That He might hear and obey and fulfill the will of His Father. His body was devoted and given. See, my friend, the miracle of the incarnation of Christ, it shows to us the extent of humiliation. It was for the Son of God to empty Himself, to be made in human flesh, to be given a body so that He could give Himself for us. In doing this, His ears were opened because His heart was opened, because His body was given to fulfill. In Philippians 2 and verse 7, we have these words, "But He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." And the word "made" there, it has to do with Jesus emptying Himself out. And when the Son of God descended down and entered into that microscopic cell, He became a man. He made Himself of nothing. My friend, this was the body that was prepared for our Lord. We learn some things about this body. It was a body of honor. It was a body of honor. A vessel of honor, sanctified and ready for the Father's purpose. The human nature that the Logos took to Himself comprised all that makes a man what he is, in body, in spirit. But this did not mean that, friend, the Lord took on another person. It doesn't mean that at all. So that you would have, for example, Christ the divine and Jesus the human. Two different persons. That's not what happened. Another person was not formed. And it's sometimes you might trip over terminology and people might become a little bit confused. But this is essential that you are not confused on this point, believer. There's one person in Christ, the Son of God. He is Christ divine, and He is Christ the man. And therefore, it's better to refer to Him as the God-man. He is one person with two distinct natures. We're explaining or trying to share and explain something that is virtually inexplainable. The Father spoke from heaven, and what did He say? He said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And He was referring and speaking about the God-man on earth. This beloved Son, who was He? He was the Lord from heaven and the Son of Man who has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He was given a body of honor. But this body was also a body of great humility. Our Lord accepted the limitation of a finite existence. What does it mean for our Lord to empty Himself of that glory to become a man? We cannot understand it. And perhaps we make an illustration. And what would it be for you as a human being to descend down into the body of an ant or to become a common house fly and live the rest of your existence in that way. And yet, friend, even those things are so unable to communicate and convey the great wonder and the step in humility. It's not just that he became a man for a short period of time, and then he reverted back to the way he was before. No, but this is a change. This was an alteration in his existence that would be forever and forever. This step of humility was not done for his own good, friend, but it was done so that he could be made like unto us in order that he would come into our place. In order, friend, that he would die to make atonement for our sins. One commentator wrote this. He said, "We are very, very far from seeing the full significance of the incarnation. But we see enough to rejoice in it and to glorify God for that incarnation, which, by virtue of the limitations it involved, made a gospel like ours possible. And this body that was prepared for Christ, it would know happiness. He would know hunger and cold and heat and love and anger and confrontation and sorrow and disappointment and grief. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But he was made like unto his brethren. He was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It was a body of honor that was given to him. It was a body of humility. But oh, friend, it was a body of holiness. Absolute and perfect holiness. There was no sin within him whatsoever. Jesus said these words, "I do always those things that please him." My heavenly Father, he was speaking of. And how could this man, born of a woman, made of tainted human flesh in that sense, come into the world without sin? To understand this, we consider for just a moment the ways in which a person can come into this world. It can be by the direct creative power of God, as Adam was, out of the dust of the ground. And that's how he formed Adam at the beginning. And then the Lord breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. It was the breath of God into that body that lay on the ground that was lifeless. And when he received the life breath from God, he became a living soul. And so that is one way in which a man can come into the world. And then, of course, we know it's by the natural process of reproduction of one man and one woman together. But then the third way is by woman only. And that is something that is completely unknown in all of humanity, that a woman could have a child without any other human contribution. And when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, we are told in Matthew 1, that holy child that would be born of you was of the Holy Spirit. Now the Scripture tells us that our Lord was made of a woman and made under the law. And it was when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and took of her seed of the egg and miraculously formed a human life in her womb. And at that precise moment of time, God the Son became a man joined with deity. A body had been prepared for a purpose. A body had been prepared without sin. For there was no contribution from sinful, fallen, corrupt man and this new life that was being formed. God had so sanctified that egg of Mary and joined it with the miracle of the incarnation. How can it be explained, friend? Well, as Paul said to Timothy, it can't be explained. Great is the mystery of godliness, he said. God was manifest in the flesh. And at that point, we must stop. We must leave it there. But all we can do is stand in wonder and adoration before the God of heaven and earth that this has taken place. Believer, today, do you know this? The unspeakable gift of the Son of God who has come to earth for the purpose of giving Himself for you, for me today. And we have the ultimate example to follow. And the question comes to us perhaps, as we have a body prepared for a purpose, have our ears been digged out? Is our heart opened to the will of God? Have we devoted ourselves to fulfill the God-directed purpose that we have in this life? Friend, pay attention today to the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit apply this truth to us. We are to be like our Savior. And if we are to be like Him, let us persevere and pursue that with all our hearts today. We will say, yes, Lord, I want my life to be opened for Your will and to fulfill it completely. And whether I receive the praise of men, it matters not. Whether I am lifted up in some sort of exaltation, it does not matter. Only one thing matters, my friend. Is our life prepared? Is our body given on the altar of sacrifice for service for the King of Kings? That's the point today. Because Christ was given a body, it was prepared. I want to leave with you in the second place this morning that He, Christ, was devoted in mind, spirit, and body. Prepared body, but He was devoted. The purpose of our Lord receiving the body from the Father, we are told in verse 7 of Hebrews 10. Please do not miss this. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do Thy will, O God. Now for a moment, just omit the paragraph or the bracketed part. He said, then said I, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. See, friend, this summarizes the whole reason of the Savior coming. It was to fulfill that which God had purposed. And in verse 10, we have the meaning or the purpose expanded. He said that we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So the fulfilling of the will of God that Christ came to do, it was so that you and I could be sanctified and saved and brought safely home to heaven. Are you saved today? Do you know Him? Do you love the Lord in your heart, friend? Don't delay another moment. Don't presume upon life for another second. Where you are right now, call upon the Lord and pray that He will save you. It was the offering of Jesus to make atonement for sinners. The Lord Jesus did not come for Himself down to earth, but He came in order to glorify His Father in the giving of Himself as an offering and a sacrifice. He devoted Himself, body, soul, mind, life, everything, to that purpose. Yes, my friend, He was devoted in mind, body, and soul. He was devoted as a son. Oh, this is a great wonder. You know, the Lord Jesus did not become the Son of God at Bethlehem. He didn't become the Son of God at the conception by the Spirit of God. For He has always been, from eternity, the Son of the Father. That has not altered in the Trinity. But what did change is that when the Son took on human nature to do the will of the Father, He continues as God and man. Not for 33 years, not for 33 centuries, but for all eternity. Oh, my friend, can we understand what the Son did in coming to earth for us? Yes, my friend, He was devoted not just as the Son, but He devoted Himself as a servant. This same Jesus made Himself of no reputation, but He took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And He went not only to the cross, but He went to the tomb. And He humbled Himself, friend, to become a corpse for you and for me today. As a servant, He gave Himself. Oh, the picture was so sweet and so humble when the Lord took the towel and the water, began to wash the feet of His disciples. The Lord of glory, bowing before His own creation and humbling Himself with such an example. Ah, when we get to see the Lord in all His glory, that very picture, that snapshot of history of the Lord bending down and washing the dirty feet of His disciples, He has done the same for us. He has humbled Himself, friend, as a servant to others. Are we comparing and mirroring the servant attitude that we are to have as our Lord did? Is our body prepared? Our life given? He did so as a sacrifice. A body prepared for death. Not just any death, but it was the horrible death of suffering and agony. He died, friend, the just one for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. So at this time of the year, when once more our thoughts are turned to the baby that was born in a cow's feeding trough, remember that the sinless, harmless, perfect Son of God took upon Himself a humble body in order to suffer in our place. The Christmas carol says it this way: Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful. Blessed be His name. Seeking for me. For me. Ah, let this truth, friend, today sink down into our minds, to our lives. Let us never take for granted this great gospel truth of the incarnation of Christ. Friend, I say to you today, if you're not saved, come to Him now. You will find His arms open in grace, in mercy, to receive you to Himself. You will find that your Lord is more willing and ready to save you than you even are to come. For what is His name today? His name is Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Lord, what can we say today? How can we render thanksgiving for such a gift? Let it never weary us, Lord. Let it never be taken for granted in our hearts. Father, speak today, I pray. Speak with words of consolation and comfort to all of Thy people. Speak with words of reinforcement where hands hang down and there are feeble knees. Lift hearts joyfully. And Lord, save today, we pray. So, be with us now. Bless us on this Lord's Day. And as we come back again tonight to watch once more, to hear, to enter into worship, let us do so with all our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.